The Scott Horton Show is brought to you by the Future Freedom Foundation at fff.org. Join the great Jacob Hornberger and some of the best writers in the libertarian movement like James Bovard, Sheldon Richman, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and more for a real individualist take on the most important matters of peace, liberty, and prosperity in our society. That's the Future Freedom Foundation at fff.org.
So you're a libertarian, and you don't believe the propaganda about government awesomeness you were subjected to in fourth grade. You want real history and economics. Well, learn in your car from professors you can trust with Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom. And if you join through the Liberty Classroom link at scotthorton.org, we'll make a donation to support the Scott Horton Show. Liberty Classroom, the history and economics they didn't teach you.
Hey everybody, Scott Horton here for LibertyStickers.com. If you're like me, then you're right all the time, surrounded by people in desperate need of correction. Well, we can't all have a radio show, but we can all get anti-government propaganda to stick on the back of our trucks. Check out LibertyStickers.com. Categories include anti-war, empire, police state, libertarian, Ron Paul, gun rights, founders quotes, and of course, the stupid election. That's LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Ben Franklin said those who are willing to sacrifice essential liberty for a little temporary safety deserve neither. Hi, Scott Horton here for the Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. It's a playing card-sized steel Bill of Rights designed to set off the metal detectors anywhere the police state goes, so you can remind those around you the freedoms we've lost. And for a limited time, get free shipping when you purchase a frequent flyer pack of 5 Bill of Rights Security Edition cards. Play a leading role in the security theater with a Bill of Rights Security Edition from SecurityEdition.com. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. The website is scotthorton.org. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at /ScottHortonShow. And our first guest on the show today is Kevin Zeese from Voters for Peace and ComeHomeAmerica.us. And you're some kind of legal advisor to the Bradley Manning Support Network at BradleyManning.org, correct, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm on the steering committee of the Bradley Manning Support Network, which is at BradleyManning.org, and I am a lawyer, and so I often answer a lot of legal questions around the Bradley Manning case.
Okay, right on. And now you are, where's this hearing being held now?
I'm at Fort Meade, which is in Maryland, and that is where the hearing is being held. The hearing today is part of a motion to dismiss. Filed by Manning's lawyer, David Coombs, and it's based on the fact that he was punished before trial. As we all, anyone who's followed this case knows, he was held in solitary confinement at Quantico for 9 months and mistreated, and it was a very restrictive solitary confinement. He wasn't even allowed to lay down in his cell or exercise in his cell or sit leaning against the wall in his cell. He had to sit upright all day in his cell. And a number of other restrictions on as well. And so this is a hearing where they're delving in deeply into his mistreatment.
Okay. Now, so yesterday Manning took the stand himself, correct?
No. Yesterday it was Manning is likely to take the stand. My guess is it will probably be tomorrow. The other witnesses are going slower than they expected. They originally thought it would be today. Well, so far we've heard from two people in the chain of command at Quantico, the base commander and the brig commander. And the brig commander is still testifying, and he'll be probably come after we have this lunch break, he'll probably be still testifying. And we expect to hear from a prison psychiatrist who was always critical of Manning's conditions of confinement. He didn't think Manning was a risk to himself. And then if David Coombs still thinks it's a good move, we'll hear from Bradley Manning, which will be, I think, a very powerful testimony.
Okay, now, so have there been any surprises, or basically the testimony so far is just telling us what we already knew?
Well, you know, we're getting into more detail. What we're really learning is how involved the top brass at the Pentagon was in this case and how closely they're monitoring it. Yesterday, the brig commander, Choiki, not the brig commander, the base commander, Quantico base commander, Choiki, he talked about how the lieutenant general, who was very involved and kept very much informed about things. What they seemed most concerned about at the Pentagon was media coverage and protests and people coming to the base to see Manning and that kind of thing. They weren't really focused on Manning's conditions of confinement, but they really wanted to be out in front of any media that occurred. There was talk that there was, in one email that was questioned, there was talk about the Marine Commandant, who's the person in charge of the Marines, and the Chief of Staff of the Army, who's the person in charge of the Army, having a meeting about Manning, but there's no details of what happened at that meeting, or if it even happened. There's talk that their meeting was planned. So that's pretty high-level activity. The other things I think that were of interest was that it really seemed like the Quantico base, the brig there, was not really the right base for this. The people at that brig felt like it was not designed for this kind of pretrial, long-term pretrial confinement. Most of the people that went in and out of that brig were transient, 90 days there at the most, and that this was an unusual case for them to have. So they felt like they were not equipped to handle Manning. So kind of a mixture of the wrong place, a little bit of incompetence, a little distrust between the military folks and the psychiatrist and also the very big involvement of people at the Pentagon in this, and they were given lots of details, and it's pretty much came out today in the testimony of Robert Altman, who is the in charge of the brig, the Marine in charge of the brig, that any decision on Manning's confinement would have had the final say would have come from the Lieutenant General in the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. All right, now was there much talk of, you know, the specifics of the abuse? Actually, before that, what was this about? There was a dentist who was posing as a psychiatrist?
Well, I would say posing. This dentist was, for some reason, in charge of the psychiatry there. She was a military, a member of the Marines, and she wasn't a psychiatrist herself, but for some reason she was responsible for that part of the brig. We'll see. Maybe we'll get more about that from them. I'm very curious about that. They didn't get into it very deep, but I'd like to hear more about what that involves.
It sounds like, the suspicion, I guess, would be, right, that they put her in charge of that because she would be, you know, more willing to do what they say rather than someone who that's their real profession.
I don't think that's what it was. I think she just happened to be a Marine who happened to be a dentist, and so she was, I think, already there before Manning got there. And there were also psychiatrists on that were hired to come in as well. I'm not sure what the deal is, why a dentist was in charge of that, but I guess they thought she has some kind of a medical degree, so I guess that's good enough. I don't quite get it.
Huh. Yeah, well, like you say, I guess we'll wait and see and find out more about that. Now, as far as the rules about, you know, the treatment that Manning was subjected to, did anyone justify that, or did they describe in detail?
They're very much trying to justify it. I mean, the key rule that the defense is focused on is that people held in pretrial confinement are not supposed to be punished before trial. And the argument is that Manning's going to be making is that he was punished before trial with this unusually restricted treatment. What the government's position on that is that they received him and were told from his stay in Kuwait that he was a suicide risk, that he was distraught, that he was facing serious charges. And that they really wanted to make sure that whatever happened, they didn't want a suicide on their hands. There had been a suicide within the last few months at Quantico, and so they already were a totally separate case, nothing to do with Manning, just a prisoner who put sock in his mouth and a plastic bag over his head and killed himself. And so they didn't want to have that repeated. And so they're being extra cautious for that reason, and also because this is such a high-profile case. And so they were being very restrictive on his confinement. They're claiming this was not a punishment. This was for his own safety. So that's really what it's going to come down to, who the judge believes on that.
Right. And now, so was this a situation where there's examination direct and then cross and all that?
Yes. What we have is essentially, at this point, Bradley Manning's lawyer, David Coombs, has been calling witnesses. So far we've had two. I don't think he's finished the second one yet. And then we'll have a third, which will be a psychiatrist. And after Coombs questions the witnesses, then they are cross-examined by the prosecutors. Now, it's unusual in this because the first two witnesses were somewhat hostile witnesses. They were in the military. They were responsible for the brig, responsible for the Quantico base, and so they had some responsibility for how Manning was treated. And so it's, even though it was a direct examination, David Coombs was able to ask a lot of leading questions and kind of, push the witness to respond. On the other hand, the cross-examination is more friendly because, they're on the government side, they're pretty much with the brig commander and the base commander. So it's an unusual thing. But, yes, there is a direct examination, cross-examination of these witnesses. And if Manning testifies, which I hope happens, but it'll be really a tactical decision by David Coombs, whose judgment I trust a great deal. It'll be his decision whether or not it's a good tactic for Manning to testify. From my perspective as a lawyer, I think for this hearing, it would be a very good move for Manning to testify. In fact, it'll be critical, I think, to the success of this motion is for Manning to describe what he went through.
Mm. All right, now, but when Coombs is examining these guys, are they pretty much getting away with it? Like, put yourself in the position of the judge, for example. Are they making the case that, no, really, we could not have this kid end up dead on our hands, so we just did everything we could to protect them? Or was the lawyer successful in making a fool out of that argument and saying, you were using this as an excuse to abuse him?
Well, he hasn't gotten that blatant. He has to be very careful about how blatant he gets. His audience is the judge, and the judge, doesn't want to see him being abusive to witnesses, so he's got to be very careful about that. But what Coombs is extremely prepared. And, he had a lot of fights over discovery, and one of the last discovery wins that he had was to get thousands of emails between the Pentagon and people at the brig and at the base about Manning's treatment. So he has lots of paper trail. And so, quite often when one of the witnesses doesn't remember the way that it occurred in the email, the paper trail, Coombs is able to pull out an email and put it in front of the witness, and the witness asks the witness to read specific sentences that sometimes contradict what the witness had just said. So I think he's been very effective at that. One thing was in yesterday's hearings, for example, the commander of Quantico tried to say that the Pentagon Lieutenant General, General Flynn, didn't want details. But then Coombs was able to go through email after email after email after email that dealt with very specific details. I think one of the emails was a draft of a letter. I can't remember who it was being sent to, but the general, replied, "I suggest we take the word A out in the second paragraph." So he was obviously very much involved in the details. And so I think that Coombs did a good job without mocking the witness, but just by putting a paper record in front of the witness of contradicting the claim that the lieutenant general wasn't concerned about details.
Yeah. Well, I hope there's a lot more of that. It seems like there's a lot riding on this guy Coombs. I'm glad to know that, this is just the 100th time I've heard someone express confidence in him. And especially coming from you, it means a lot. I sure hope that he's up to it.
He's got everything at his fingertips as far as this paper trail goes. He's fought real hard for every bit of information he could get from the government. I think he's done it's a very hard case. I'm not promising a great outcome because it's a very difficult case. But I think he's doing the best that can be done with the tools he has, and I think it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know you got to go. Thanks very much for your time. I hope we can talk again
soon. Thanks a lot for having me on, Scott. And people should visit bradleymanning.org. We do daily updates on what happened in trial, so you can get a really good briefing. Mm-hmm. We have someone who's taking notes almost verbatim and doing a great update summarizing what occurred each day. So bradleymanning.org is a great place for summaries.
Right. Yeah, I didn't have time to read that this morning, so I especially appreciate you coming on today.
No problem. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, that is the great Kevin Zeese, Voters for Peace, comehomeamerica.us, and like you heard right there, bradleymanning.org, that's the Bradley Manning Support Network.
Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here. After the show, you should check out one of my sponsors, wallstreetwindow.com. It's a financial blog written by Mike Swanson, a former hedge fund manager who's investing in commodities, mining stocks, and European markets. Mike's site, wallstreetwindow.com, is unique in that he shows people what he's really investing in, updating you when he buys or sells in his main account. Mike's betting his positions are going to go up due to the Federal Reserve printing all that money to finance the deficit. See what happens at WallStreetWindow.com. In an empire where Congress knows nothing, the ubiquitous D.C. think tank is all. And the Israel lobby and their neocon allies must own a dozen. Well, Americans have a lobby in Washington, too. It's called the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. They advocate for us on Capitol Hill. Join CNI to demand an end to the U.S.-sponsored occupation of the Palestinians and an end to our government's destructive empire in the Middle East. That's the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey ladies, Scott Horton here. If you would like truly youthful, healthy, and healthy-looking skin, there is one very special company you need to visit, Dagny & Lane, at dagnyandlane.com. Dagny & Lane has revolutionized the industry with a full line of products made from organic and all-natural ingredients that penetrate deeply with nutrient-rich ionic minerals and antioxidants for healthy and beautiful skin. That's Dagny & Lane at dagnyandlane.com. And for a limited time, add promo code SCOTT15 at checkout for a 15% discount. Hey folks, Scott Horton here for Veterans for Peace at veteransforpeace.org. I'm not a vet, but if you are, I'd like to ask you to consider joining Veterans for Peace. As you know, in matters of foreign wars, a veteran's voice is given much more weight. Well, Veterans for Peace is making veterans' voices heard in ways and places where they can really make a difference. There are more than 175 chapters of Veterans for Peace in all 50 states, working hard to eliminate nuclear weapons, seek justice for veterans and victims of war, and abolish war as an instrument of American national policy. It's the peace vets versus the chicken hawks. Join up the good fight at veteransforpeace.org.